Hollywood, California, we present Gene Herschelt in another Dr. Christian drama called The Seeing Eye, brought to you by the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline, and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other famous Vaseline specialties. Here is a question that has tripped up plenty of people. What is the largest organ of the body? The right answer is the skin. And what's more, it is so important that you probably could not go on living if one-third of your skin was prevented from doing its work. When you realize how important the skin is, you realize why even minor hurts and irritations deserve prompt care. Vaseline Jelly has proved itself an ideal aid in caring for these everyday skin problems because it does three very important things. It forms a protective film that helps to keep infection out. It promotes healing. It softens and lubricates the skin by supplementing the natural skin oils. This triple action makes Vaseline Jelly one of the handiest things in the house, enables it to soothe chafing and rashes, burns and scalds, to aid the healing of cuts and scratches, to soften rough, cracked hands, and soothe chapped lips. If you haven't a jar or a tube of Vaseline Jelly in your medicine cabinet, get one tomorrow. Use it always for the many minor skin problems in your family, where the unique soothing and protective qualities of Vaseline Jelly are so effective. Tonight's drama is the story of Peg Foster. Dr. Christian has known Peg since she was born. She's grown into a beautiful girl and an accomplished musician. She's engaged to be married to one of our most promising young men, Joe Hardy. In the play, you'll hear our star, Gene Herschelt, in the role of Dr. Christian, and Gloria Holden as Peg Foster. As the curtain rises, we find Dr. Christian writing at the old Hepplewhite secretary in his study.
Yes? What is it?
Dr. Christian, I know you didn't want to be interrupted, but there's been an accident.
What kind of an accident?
An automobile accident. Joe Hardy's car skidded on the wet pavement on the North Hill, smashed into a telegraph pole.
Anybody hurt?
Yes. Peg Foster was with him, and they were both thrown out. They're in the waiting room. Mayor Hewitt was passing. He picked them up and rushed them over in his car.
Well, bring them in. Bring them in.
Peggy's unconscious, Dr. Christian. Mr. Hewitt had to carry her in. We put her on the sofa.
I'll come right out. Hello, John.
Hello, Doctor.
Well, Joe, what's the matter? Can I get away from you?
Dr. Christian, look at Peggy right away, will you, please? I'm afraid something terrible has happened to her.
Oh, there now, boy. Don't get so excited. I'll take care of Peggy right away. How about you?
Oh, I'm all right. There's nothing the matter with me, but it was all my fault, Dr. Christian. I was driving, and the first thing I knew, the car skidded just as quick as that, and we hit a pole.
Now, don't blame yourself, Joe. I saw the accident, and...
Joe, you're hurt. You're all blood.
I'm not hurt except for a few scratches, but it threw Peggy right out of the car, and she hit her head. God, Dr. Christian, if Peggy...
Take it easy, Joe. Take it easy. It's probably just a bad bump. John, do you want to give me a hand? We'll take her into my examination room and see if he can't make her more comfortable.
I'll carry it. Let me out. Do it.
You'll do nothing of the kind. You had a bad shock, young man. You'll sit right down here and drink this medicine Judy's going to fix for you. Take things easy until we find out how badly Peg is hurt.
Can't you tell if it's anything bad, Dr. Christian?
Here, Joe. Sit down and drink this.
But Judy,
Please, Joe. Peggy will want you when she comes to, and you've got to sort of calm down.
I suppose I... Give it here.
I'll take her head, John. Now lift her carefully.
Yeah.
That's right. In here. We'll put her right down here.
All right, Doctor.
There. Close the door.
Right.
Judy, get me the emergency tray. And the basin. And gauze.
Yes.
She looks pretty bad, doesn't she, Dr. Christian? You think I'd better go and call her mother?
No, you better not yet, John.
Here's the tray, Dr. Christian.
Doctor, look, she moved a little. Is she coming too?
Put her head down. A little more.
All right.
Yes. She's coming out of it. Give me the scissors, Judy.
Yes.
I've got to cut away some of her hair. She's got a bad bump here right in the back of her head. Move her head over just a little, will you?
All
right. So I can see. There.
Oh.
Well, now be a good girl.
Oh.
There's no time for hysterics.
Oh, Doctor.
It's a nasty blow, all right. I want to get a dressing on you if I can before she comes to.
Oh.
There. There. Now the dressing, Judy, and the gauze.
It looks It looks...
It looks like a bad bang on the head. That's what it looks like.
Oh.
Don't get any foolish notions until we know.
I won't.
Oh, right now at one of those times when we really need our hospital. I'll be glad when we get that place finished.
You can't tell about broken bones until she comes to, can you?
No. Or about a lot of other things.
Do you mean?
A blow on the head like that can have a lot of...
Oh.
Peggy. Do you know me? This is Dr. Christian. Peggy. Try to answer me.
My head.
You bumped your head, Peggy. But you've got that all fixed up. Listen, Peggy. Does this hurt? Can you move your arms?
I guess so. I guess I'm all right.
Open your eyes, Peggy.
I don't want to open my eyes.
Try to open them just for a minute.
Joe. Where's Joe? He was driving. Was Joe hurt, Dr. Christian?
Joe's all right, Peggy. He's in the other room waiting to hear about you. Judy, let him in.
You may come in now, Joe.
How is she? Is she conscious?
Yes, she's conscious.
Peggy, open your eyes. Look at me, darling. I want to be sure you're all right.
Joe, I can't open my eyes. My head hurts.
Oh, please. Just for a minute, darling.
Open your eyes, Peggy.
I'll try. Why, it's dark in here. It's pitch dark. Where are you? Dr. Christian! Joe! Joe, everything is black! Joe, I can't see! I can't see!
Hello, Peggy. Well, why aren't you out in the sun the way I told you?
I didn't want to go out, Dr. Christian. I hate people to see me this way, groping along. I'd rather stay inside.
Now, why not let your mother take you for a walk?
Because it's torture for us both. I'm afraid, and so is she.
What's the matter with Joe? I should think he'd make a good guide. Are you afraid with him, too? What is it, Peggy? Something wrong between you and Joe?
No, not really wrong.
Don't you think you'd better tell your old doctor?
Well, there's really nothing to tell. I just... Joe and I...
You and you are engaged to be married, aren't you, Peggy?
We were. But I couldn't marry anybody now since I'm blind.
Well, does Joe agree with that?
Oh, no. No, that is, he says he doesn't. He wants me to marry him right away and let him take care of me. But don't you see, that's just what I can't do.
What can't you do?
Having him take care of me that way. Waiting on me, spending his life being a nurse paid to a wife who can't see. I can't stand being pitied. I can't stand it from anybody, and least of all from him.
Pitied?
Yes, pitied. Oh, Dr. Christian, let's not pretend. We both know my life's ended. I'll never be able to see again. I'll just have to sit here day after day. I can't go places. I can't do anything. I can't love anyone.
But you do love someone, Peggy. You love Joe, and Joe loves you.
Oh, he doesn't love me. He's just sorry for me. Oh, I know. I used to be that way, too. I used to look at blind people and say, oh, dear, the poor things, how awful. Everybody does that.
Peggy, I want you to listen to me. I know one place where everybody doesn't try to...
Doesn't think it's awful, you mean?
Doesn't waste any time being sorry.
Do you mean... You mean they don't care?
Oh, they care a great deal. That's just it. But to do something about it.
Do something about being blind?
Yes.
What?
They give people who can't see guides so wonderful that they almost take the place of their own eyes.
Guide? Dr. Christian, I don't want a guide. Oh, you can't imagine how terrible it is having to ask somebody to help you every time you move. Always feeling that you're imposing.
I know.
No, you don't know. Nobody knows who can see. It's the worst part of blindness. Dr. Christian, I wanted to make Joe a good wife. I expected to go on giving music lessons, but I wanted to keep house, too.
still love the home, and I'm such a good cook, and I love to sew and do things around the house and the garden.
Yes, Peggy.
Now that's all gone. Everything's gone just because I can't see. I'm still young and alive, and I want to do things, to work and to have fun, and I can't do anything.
Listen.
Not anything.
Listen, Peggy.
I can't have a home of my own. I can't have a life of my own. I'm blind, blind, and I might as well be dead.
Peggy, dear, listen. I'm so glad you've told me all this. I came here this afternoon to have a talk with you about something. And I was a little afraid.
Afraid of what?
Afraid you wouldn't have the nerve, Peggy, to grasp the value of what I'm going to tell you.
What are you going to tell me?
Peggy, the worst part of losing your sight hasn't been the blindness itself. It's been the things that blindness has done to you.
What do you mean?
Oh, the way it's changed you from an independent, happy girl into the Peggy who sits here alone day after day, doing nothing, shrinking from meeting all her friends, cutting herself off from the people who loves her most.
I won't be pitied. I won't. I won't be dependent on people.
I'm trying to tell you that you needn't be dependent anymore, Peggy.
Why? Dr. Christian, what do you mean? Have you found something that can work a miracle and bring me back my sight?
It can bring you back your sight, my dear. But it can provide a very good substitute. Peggy, did you ever hear of an organization called the Seeing Eye?
Christian, have you gone crazy to suggest a thing like that to Peggy?
Joe, I gather from your manner you think a dog guide would be all wrong for Peggy.
You know how I feel about Peggy. You know I want to devote the rest of my life to taking care of her, making up for the terrible thing I did to her.
Did it ever occur to you that maybe Peggy doesn't want to be taken care of? To a girl like Peggy, Joe, life is activity, silver lines, accomplishment. Take that away from her and you've taken everything worthwhile.
But we're all glad to wait on her. I want to spend my life making it up to her.
You can't make it up to her except by making it easy for her to help herself.
But, Doctor, I couldn't let her use a dog guide. It wouldn't be safe.
It's the one thing that is safe. Joe, how much do you know about dog guides?
Nothing, except that I've seen them on the street, fastened to a string.
Ah, those aren't guides, Joe. Faithful pets, maybe. I'm talking about educated dog guides. The dogs which come from the Seeing Eye. You know about the Seeing Eye, Joe?
I've heard the name, that's about all.
Well, it's a school where dogs are trained to guide the blind, and where the blind go to learn how to use their own dogs.
I don't see anything so wonderful in teaching a dog tricks.
But they don't teach these dogs any tricks, Joe. The dogs have to learn to think for themselves. The job is taking care of the masters, and they have to be educated to meet emergencies.
It sounds fantastic.
Yeah, that's what I thought at first. Then I learned more about it, and finally I went to the school at Morristown, and that convinced me. Why, when I was there, men were shaving themselves who had been blind for years and never touched a razor. Elliot Humphrey, who is director of training, told me that at the end of the month, the people in that class would go out of there as free as any seeing person.
That's impossible.
It's true. It's amazing the way blind people come back to normal when you free them from the cloying effect of well-meant pity and put them on their own.
But Peggy's just a girl, Doctor.
She's a fine girl with spirit and determination. Give her a pack of silver lions, and you'll see that she's lost very little, really. There's no reason why she shouldn't go on with her music. No reason why she shouldn't carry out every plan she's ever made.
Dr. Christian, do you really believe that?
Well, of course I believe it.
Do you believe if Peggy got one of these dogs, and it did all you say it does, made her independent again, do you think she'd marry me?
Peggy would have to decide that for herself, Joe. What does she say now?
She says she'll never marry me.
Well, of course, now she regards herself only as a burden. She may feel differently about it when she's free again.
Dr. Christian, this is all crazy. Why, Peggy hasn't even washed her own face since she lost her sight.
Well, then it's time she learns it. In your love for her, you and her mother have simply submerged her in helplessness and self-pity. You'll need courage to get out of it. But it'll be worth the effort a million times over.
You really believe that?
With all my heart. Let her go, Joe.
All right, Dr. Christian. I'll take the chance.
are listening to the Dr. Christian story called The Seeing Eye, with Jean Hersholt in the role of Dr. Christian and Gloria Holden playing the part of Peg Foster, the blind girl. While we're waiting for our program to resume, here is a story every woman will be interested in.
A couple of months ago, I decided to put my hair up. So I went to the hairdresser and came home looking like a picture. My hair, I mean, but I simply couldn't keep it that way. I thought it was because I'm not clever with my fingers, but a friend said, "Your hair's so dry, you simply can't expect it to stay up." And then she made me promise to use Vaseline hair tonic every time I shampoo my hair. Already my hair shows a wonderful result. Weekly Vaseline hair tonic massage has helped loosen my scalp. It's given my hair a brand new sheen. And now that it's no longer so dry and brittle, I can manage that up hairdo without a bit of trouble, and people are beginning to say nice things about my hair.
No matter what kind of hair you have or what kind of shampoo you use, your hair will be better looking and more manageable if you'll massage on plenty of Vaseline hair tonic before every shampoo. Vaseline hair tonic supplements the natural scalp oil. For, unlike many hair tonics, it contains no alcohol and absolutely will not dry out the scalp. Try this different tonic for a month. The 40-cent size contains enough tonic for several treatments, and the big 70-cent bottle is an even more economical buy. We return now to Dr. Christian and his story of Peg Foster, blinded in an accident. The doctor took Peg to the Seeing Eye School at Morristown, New Jersey, to get a guide dog. She is to stay there a month to learn how to use her dog, so the doctor has come home to await results. As the scene opens, we find him at Peg's home, talking with her mother and her fiancé, Joe Hardy.
Well, I'm just telling Joe, Dr. Christian and I feel lost without Peggy. I've got so used to taking care of her and having her on my mind every second.
And think how she must be missing you.
Oh, I don't know how she can get along without me, really, when I think how helpless she is.
Oh, don't. I can't bear it. Honestly, Dr. Christian, I don't know how I ever came to let her do it. I must have been crazy.
You're both crazy, if you keep my saying so. Peggy has a one chance for happiness, and you sit here and mourn.
Well, I'm not mourning, but I can't help worrying.
You wouldn't have worried if you'd gone to school with me. It's something in the spirit of the place that inspires confidence. And those dogs are just magnificent.
Well, it seems sort of unfair to a dog, doesn't it? Making him work, LaFaire?
Unfair? The dogs love it. It's their life. The desire to serve is born in them.
They must have to care a lot about their masters.
If they don't, they don't work well. It's a service of love.
Well, it must be a lot of trouble having a dog like that around. Who takes care of them?
Their owners. Peggy will have to take care of her own dog and feed her and brush her. She'll sleep beside her bed at night and lie at her feet under the table during meals.
Well, Peggy can't take care of a dog. How can she?
Well, there's your telephone.
Well, excuse me while I answer it.
Well, I must be getting along. Joe, I'm glad for everyone's sake that things turned out the way it did.
Hello? Yes? Yes, this is Mrs. Foster. What?
Peggy. Oh, Peggy, darling.
Listen, it's Peggy. I'm a teacher.
You don't? Oh, Peggy, I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, of course you can't do that sort of thing. You did just exactly right. I'll call you the first thing in the morning, dear. Oh, Mother will take care of it. Don't you worry anymore. Good night, darling. Oh, I told you so. I told you it'd be just that way. Now one of us has to leave for Morristown the first thing in the morning.
Leave for Morristown? What on earth for?
Why, to get Peggy, of course. She's coming home.
Coming home? Why?
Because she needs me to take care of her, that's why. Because it frightens her to have to do things for herself.
I'll go for her, Miss Foster. I'll see.
Wait a minute. Peggy can't come home.
What do you mean?
I mean Peggy's going to stay right there.
What?
Oh, these few days were bound to be bad, but every day she sticks, it'll be easier. If you give in to her now, her life's just right for good.
Dr. Christian, I'll not have Peggy at that awful school alone, helpless and suffering.
Better to have her helpless and suffering the rest of her life, I suppose. Peggy's at that school, and there she's going to stay until she's given it a fair trial, or my name is not Paul Christian. Operator. Oh, hello, Jenny, yes. Yes, Dr. Christian. Get me Peggy Foster at the Seeing Eye School of Morristown, New Jersey, will you, Jenny? Yes, I'll hold on.
Dr. Christian, what are you going to do to Peggy?
I'm going to talk sense to her.
You can't make her stay there, Dr. Christian. You can't.
Oh, she'll thank me for it one day.
Dr. Christian, how dare you act this way toward a poor girl like Peggy whose life is ruined, blind. Haven't you any pity for what she is?
Not a trace. But I've got a lot of respect for what I think she's going to be. I believe she has it in her to triumph over all this, and I'm going to find out. Hello? Hello, operator. Oh, is this you, Peggy? Oh, this is Dr. Christian. I had to make sure what your mother told me was right. That you really wanted to come home. Funny. That's just what I thought you would do. I suspected all the time that you really didn't have the nerve. That you couldn't take it. Well, you bothered your own bread for the first time since the accident, didn't you? You dressed yourself and unpacked your own suitcase and found your way around the house. But you want to quit and come home and go back to being independent someone else for every move you make. All right, come home. Let your mother wait on you for the rest of your life. What? No, Peggy, that's no way to talk to me. I only said you couldn't take it. Well, can you? I don't believe a word of it, Peggy. You'll have to show me. All right, Peggy. Good night. Good night.
Train's due in a minute. Come on down to the end of the platform with Miss Foster. A lot of Peggy's friends are here.
So I see. Good afternoon, Miss Foster.
Hello, Doctor.
Forgiven me yet?
Oh, I've wanted to call you every day and tell you how sorry I was I lost my temper. But I was afraid for Peggy. I'm still afraid. Maybe she's coming home just a nervous wreck.
Well, let's hope for the best. We'll know in a minute. There's the train now.
Oh, I'm so nervous. I can hardly stand.
I'm not too strong myself.
Oh, you look well.
Here's the train.
River Dance.
Say, we're at the wrong end of the platform.
Are we?
Oh, she'll be back that way. Those are old coaches.
There she is. With her dog.
Oh, I see her.
Now, wait a minute. Don't rush her. Take it slowly. Her dog doesn't know you. You go and meet her, Joe. And tell her we're back here.
Yes, Doctor.
Dr. Christian, look at her. Doesn't she look marvelous?
Yes, Mrs. Foster, she certainly does.
Well, look. She's doing everything for herself. See, she's telling the porter about her bags. And now she's coming along the platform. Doctor, that dog is guiding her. Why, they're walking right along together.
And look at her face.
Oh, everything's all right, isn't it, Doctor? You can tell just by looking at her that she's happy. There, look, Joe's met her now. See how that dog looks up at him. Oh, now they're coming. Oh, my baby. My baby.
Oh, Mrs. Foster, don't. Peggy has done a fine, brave thing. Don't elude it with so much as one drop of pity.
No, I won't. Peggy, darling.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you home.
Oh, Mother. Oh, and am I glad to be home.
Doesn't she look marvelous?
Well, I feel marvelous. There are a lot of people around, aren't there?
Yes, a crowd of your friends all waiting to welcome you home.
Oh, how nice. I'll be so glad to see them all. But first, didn't Dr. Christian come down to the station? Is he still disgusted with me for the way I behaved at first? Well, I can't say that I blame him, but I hoped he'd come.
He did come, Peggy.
Oh, Dr. Christian. Oh, I'm so glad.
Well, does that mean you're not angry with me anymore?
Angry with you? Oh, no. If you hadn't talked to me the way you did, I'd have given up and come home before I really started.
And are you glad you didn't?
Glad? Why, if I'd come home then, I'd have never had Mara. Listen, all of you, I want you to meet Mara, the most wonderful dog in the world.
Hello, Mara.
Nice girl. She's a beauty, isn't she?
Isn't she wonderful? Say, how do you do to them, Mara?
Does she do everything for you? We hoped she would, Peggy.
Mara? Oh, yes. Why, she's my eyes. Now that I have her, I can go anywhere. Everything will be just as it used to be. I'm free. Free. And I owe every bit of it to you, Dr. Christian.
Oh, nonsense. You don't owe me anything. But, Peggy, what can I say that'll show you how proud we are all of you? Of the things you've done and the things you're going to do with Mara.
Well, you might say the same thing to me that I say to her when she's done something especially well. It's the thing she likes to hear better than anything else in the world, and I guess it'll do for me, too.
What is it, Peggy?
That's a good girl.
And so the curtain falls on another Dr. Christian drama. In a moment, our star, Jean Hersholt, and the other artists will be out here to take a bow, and Mr. Hersholt will tell you something about next week's play. Remember, it's important to protect your minor skin irritations. Cuts, scratches, chafing, chapping, wind burn, and other burns with soothing Vaseline jelly. It is the best product of its kind that it is possible to make. So pure, you can actually eat it. Manufactured to an exacting standard, it is sterilized in the process of manufacture and packed in sterilized containers. Vaseline jelly contains no acids, chemicals, or irritants of any kind, yet it costs only 10 cents. Your druggist also has a number of specialty products with Vaseline jelly as their base. Vaseline carbolated jelly, Vaseline borated jelly, Vaseline camphor ice, and Vaseline lip ice. Ask him about them. Like plain Vaseline jelly, these specialty products carry the famous Vaseline trademark as a guarantee of purity. Always look for the word Vaseline on the label. And now we would like to present the artists in tonight's story. They are Rosemary DeCamp, who plays Judy Price, Jerry Moore, who plays the mayor, John Hewitt, Mrs. Foster was played by Myra Marsh, Joe Hardy was played by Barry Kroger, the part of the blind girl, Peg Foster, was played by a rising Hollywood actress, Gloria Holden. And before introducing our star, it's a great deal of pleasure that I take in presenting our guests of honor. Here on our stage at Columbia Square tonight is Dr. Clyde H. Wilson and his alert seeing-eye dog, Elsa, who has been taking in every action in our show tonight with very keen interest. A more beautiful German shepherd you have never seen. Dr. Clyde Wilson and Elsa. And now, our star, Jean Hersholt, as the beloved Dr. Christian. Dr. Christian, tell us something about next week's story, won't you?
Well, Ed Fettle, an old-timer here in River's End, has been amusing himself, digging into our early history. He's written a book about it. And as he's told strictly the truth about our forebears, some of the people here in town are quite upset. Anyway, he's provided us with a very good play, and its title is The Pirate River's End. Until next week, at this same hour, then, I'll say good night.
Don't fail to hear Jean Hersholt's Dr. Christian story next Tuesday night, called The Pirate of River's End. Jean Hersholt appears on this program through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox. There's still time to see their latest quintuplets picture, Five of a Kind, in which Jean Hersholt is starred. Your announcer is Arthur Gilmore. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.